that I could get a straw in my mouth. Understand that for several months, the only thing that I took in was what would fit through that straw. Oh, my friend, I had lost much, much weight. I was so weak. I was so hungry. I was so discouraged and just so tired of being so weak and so hungry, and my jaw just seemed like it ached all the time. Well, my wife's brother, Brian Miller, I know a lot of you all know Brian, Missy's brother, and he's pastoring up in Cincinnati now, and Brian was there in the house with us helping Missy take care of me for a few days, and I told Brian, I said, Brian, out there in the back of our van is a toolbox. In that toolbox is a pair of metal wire cutters. And if you'll go get me those metal wire cutters and you'll help me cut these metal wires, I'll give you every dollar that's in my wallet here. And I just laid my wallet down there. I knew that's going to get him now. That's a lot of, you know, I don't know how much money was even in there, but I knew he'd love to have all the money in my wallet, right? He said, Doug, I'm sorry. I can't do that. That wouldn't be wise. I can't do that. I said, Brian, I'm so hungry. I'm so tired of being like this. And understand that I couldn't talk plain enough that he could only understand about half of what I would say. I was saying it as clear as I could, but it was really hard to talk, as you can imagine. And he couldn't understand all that I was saying, but I was begging him to do it. And he said, you know, Doug, if I went out there and I got those metal wire cutters and me and you cut those metal wires, don't you know that Missy would catch us? She'd put you right back in the van, take you right back to the specialist, and hit sew that mouth right back together? I said, I know that, Brian. I'll get me a sandwich before she catches us. Please help me. And you know, he just wouldn't do it. Well, now me and Brian have been very good friends since we was kids. I know he's my brother-in-law and I sure do love him. But understand, you all know I'm telling you the truth. That as good as your friends are, if you have got a sibling, a brother that you have gotten close to, there's just no friends that understand you like your sibling does, like your brother does. And so, in anger, I said, that's all right, Brian. My brother Dwayne is going to be here Saturday, and he'll help me get this cut. And so Saturday, Dwayne was there, and I was so glad to see him. And I told him to get out there and get me those metal wire cutters. Me and him was going to cut these metal wires. And you know, he told me the same exact thing that Brian did. Sure. Doug, don't you know Missy will catch us? She'll take you right back. I know, Dwayne, but I'm going to get me a sandwich. Well, he started crying. He's my brother. He loves me. He started crying. He said, Doug, I can't do that. I can't do that. And so when he had left the room and I got by myself, I don't really remember what it was. It was a fork or a butter knife. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I just kind of got inside my teeth there and I yanked and I jerked. I did all that I could to open my mouth. Well, I couldn't tell that I had moved it at all, but it started hurting worse than it ever had. The pain was just so bad. And I just was sitting there crying with the pain. It was hurting so bad. Missy came and took me back to the specialist there to find out what was going on. And so he done the x-rays and he came back in, you know, as if, you know, he needed 10 years of doctor experience or 10 years of education to find this out. He came back in and he said, sir, I know what is going on. You have been trying to open your mouth. You caught me. I've lost 60 pounds. I'm starved to death. And yeah, I've been trying to open my mouth. And so he said, well, I'm going to get all these bones set back. And he worked and got all the bones set back together. And he said, now the only thing I know to do is I'm going to tighten these wires. And I'm going to tighten them so tight that you will never be able to move your jaw again until we take these wires out. Well, that, my friend, was pain beyond description. It was pain beyond what I can describe to you. Oh, my friend, if you grasp your teeth together as hard as you could, you can in no way imagine how tight that he had my mouth wired together shut. And oh, my friend, in all of this pain, there was a fact in the Bible. Now, remember that God is not a man. Amen? God is not a man.
Come on.
And hath he said it? Shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it? Shall he not make it good? Let me remind you of what God said. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Woo! And so in our common everyday talk, that is how that we say he'll allow no more to be put upon you than you can bear. Thank you for the promise, Jesus. Thank you for the promise! But understand that this pain, it got so bad. The pain was so great that I just felt like this was more than I could bear. You know, I'm so glad that God knows me better than I know me. It obviously, I could take it a little more. Oh, friend, I'll tell you, don't let the devil deceive you and think that the Lord has left you. The Lord knows how much you can bear. And he, my friend, is not going to allow any more to be put upon you. But he will make a way for your escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen! Oh, what a time of trouble that this was. Oh, what a time of pain. And so, Missy, she said, well, I feel like the best thing for me to do is take you home, Cincinnati, some 7 hours away, so that the home church, they can pray for you. You can be with the family and friends, and it'll help you to feel better. And so we drove back to Cincinnati, and she took me to church, and understand that I was 90% blind. Understand that I was crippled and in the wheelchair. Understand that I was in pain from head to toe. And understand that my jaw was in absolutely the worst pain I ever, never could ever even dream or imagine of having. We had church Saturday night. They wheeled me up front and they prayed for me. And they cried and they prayed. And when I left, I was still in just that much pain. And agony. Oh, dear Jesus. And so Sunday morning, they brought me back to church and the morning worship came. They wheeled me back up front and they all gathered around and they prayed and they cried. And when it was over, I was still in that much pain. Oh, dear Jesus. That night, the same thing. Monday morning came and Missy had said, well, we will head back to Illinois now. And they had me. I was in the chair. I was ready to go back home to Illinois now. And Missy was in the back room in her mom and dad's house of praying. She came in a few minutes and she said, well, Doug, I feel like the Lord has spoke to my heart not to go back to Illinois yet. But before we take you back, to have you prayed for one more time. To take you back to church and have you prayed for again.
Yes.
Well, understand it was Monday. And nobody has church on Monday. And so they was in revival, homecoming annual revival over across the river about 40 minutes away at the Taylor Mill Church where Brother Gallagher is pastor. And they was in their annual homecoming revival. Brother Ralph Horton was the preacher. And she said, well, we'll go over there so they can pray for you. And oh, my friend, I've got to be honest with you. I'm just going to tell you, my friend, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be the spectacle at another church to go in and visit in that condition and all the eyes looking at me and everybody. I didn't want to go through that. And the pain was so bad, I just wanted to be left alone if I was going to have to suffer this. And oh, I know all the pain medicine was there, but I was just trying to hold on to faith and was not taking any pain medicine for it, not taking anything in like that, just trusting God. And oh, I just wanted to just go back to Illinois and be left in my bed and just not be taken somewhere else to be made a spectacle of. But oh, let me tell you, my friend, I'm so glad that she obeyed God. They brought me in. They set me down back here in the back on this side. Brother Horton got to preaching. And, you know, he got to preaching all about there is faith for victory. Having faith for victory. And he just stopped. And he said, the Lord just spoke to me for us to go back and pray for Brother Doug. Now, understand, I had not seen or talked to Brother Horton or anything since the accident. And understand that to look at me, you could see that I was crippled. You could see that I was blind. You could see that I had a lot of things wrong with me. Amen? But you could not see the condition of my jaw. You could not see that I had pain right there that was beyond description. Brother Horton, he took the bottle of oil. And you know, we holiness people, we do it just like the Bible says, anointing them with oil. Amen? Amen. Now, why do we do it just like we do it? Well, I don't know. We're just holding those people, and that's the way we do it. We have a lot of folks that are one finger fellas. We have some that are two fingers. You know what I'm talking about? And then we take the oil, and we just lay it on your forehead usually and just pray for you. Like, why do we do it that way? That's just who we are. Amen? Well, Brother Horton took the oil, they said, and he took the oil and he poured it in his hands. And he came back with the oil all in his hands. And he came back to where I was. I asked him the other day in revival, I said, Brother Horton, why did you do it like you did it? He said, because the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to heal Doug's jaw tonight. Go back there and pray for him. And he took that oil and he just started rubbing it all over my bottom jaw. Not my forehead, not my head, not my top jaw. Just not all of where I was crippled at and my eyes, I was blind. None of that. But my pain was in my jaw. And he just started rubbing that oil all around my jaw. And the only thing I remember him saying, he might have said a little bit more, but the only thing I was hearing him say was, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Don't you love that name of Jesus? Would you just say that name of Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. Let me tell you, my friend, all of that pain that was right there in my jaw, immediately, Jesus took away every bit of it. Right then, there was no pain left. You know, I was in so much pain, I was really questioning in my mind, dear God, had you left me? Why? It has been several days now, I can't stand no more. Why am I like this? There hath no temptation taken me, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Come on here now. Jesus was watching over me the whole time, brother. Hey, Brother Morris, he was watching over me the whole time, and he knew just how much I could take. He never let no more be put on me than I could bear. Woo! But right then, every bit of the pain left, and it left right then. Woo! Let me tell you, the next day, We started back to Illinois. Sitting there in the front seat of the van, my wonderful wife was driving. And something that I do my best to describe it to you and tell you about it, but understand that I'm just very limited with my vocabulary. I just felt something in my mouth. When I felt something in my mouth, that I'm telling you, it felt like it was just getting larger. I felt my, and so I done what you would have done. I opened my mouth to see what it was.
Come on.
And I opened my mouth, and when I did, a big blob ball of metal wires fell out of my mouth and landed in my hand.
Come on.
For the Lord to do that. It never crossed my mind one time. All of those times folks was praying for me, and when Brother Horton came back there and rubbed that oil all over me, I had one thing on my mind. Hey, listen, please take this pain from me, dear God. Dear God, please take this pain from me. Oh, and you know what? He did it. He took away the pain, and then we're abundantly beyond anything I could even ask or think. All the metal wires understand that Missy, she said, now, I said, the Lord just gave me a miracle. And she explained to me, I believe he has. Oh, I believe he has, Doug, but we're not getting off the next exit to get you a hamburger. Because we need the doctor to check this out. Because if you, morning, I'm not talking about a day or a couple days. It had been months since I had anything to eat. I think it had been 3 or 4 months since I'd had a bite of food. And let me tell you, my friend, she was giving me day to every day, several times a day, this little bitty things. It's not of God. It's called Ensure. I hate to use that language in a good congregation like this, but that's what it's called. Lord have mercy. The first glasses, however many of them there was, you know, that's all right. But Lord, that last million, which I know that's an exaggeration, but oh, I'm telling you, oh, I hated that stuff. It got so tiresome of drinking that Ensure. And so that next morning, she had me there at the specialist office before he got there. And there I was. I was crippled. I was blind. I had my mouth wide open. I was smiling. And whenever he got out of his car, I was there with those metal wires in my hand. He says, let's go directly in and get some x-rays. He took the x-rays, and he stayed gone a long time. Finally, he came back in, and he had my wife in there, and my mom had came in, and my mom and my wife was there, and he put on this lighted up thing, 3 x-rays. You seen those lighted things that they put x-rays up on there so you can read them? He put 3 of them up there. He said, now, this first x-ray, and I'll use as many of his words that I remember absolutely for sure that he said as I can. He said, this first jaw, you will see this is the morning of the accident, and you will see that that bone has been crushed, that it's in bad shape. Now, this second x-ray, you can see that this is the same jaw. It is still crushed just as bad, and the only difference is a few metal wires going here and there. And then he said, this other jaw.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Glory. Glory.
And then he taught me something about medical that I didn't know. He said, someone who is experienced at reading x-rays, whenever you break a bone, they can show you exactly where that break was. Many years later, it will still be scarred right there. He said, now, this other jaw has never been broken. He said, this other jaw has never been injured. Now, understand, I was born with TMJ. You know what that is? Where your jaw, it gets out of joint sometimes and it pops and cracks. And I remember when I was a teenager, one time I yawned so big, a true story, it came out of joint. They had to rush me to the hospital just to get my jaw back in joint. But this jaw doesn't have any problems. He said, sir, in my professional opinion, someone has given you a brand new jaw. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. That wasn't even what I had ever asked or ever thought of. But understand, my friends, that he just loves us that much. He just loves you that much. And God is not a man. They were saying, we're going to get it so still and unmovable that it will kind of grow back. And if not, in a few years down the road, we can surgically repair that whenever you get your strength up and everything gets, we can surgically repair that jaw. My God is not a man.
That's right.
Come on here now. It didn't need to be still, and it didn't need to be surgically repaired. Hey, my friend, there came that time that our good Oklahoma friends, Brother Kevin and Sister Teresa, was going up to Cincinnati to preach a revival at our home church. And that was some 7 hours away, but we wanted to go because we love our friends, because that's where all our family is. That's the home church. And because I was hoping so badly that the church would get a hold of God. Brother Miller knew that we was coming, and so he explained to the church again. They had seen me. You all know that Doug is blind. You all know that Doug is crippled in a wheelchair. You know that Doug's mentality is very weak, and he's struggling, having a lot of confusion. My mouth had already been opened, but that was a wonderful miracle that I had received. But understand, I was still blind. I was still in the wheelchair. I was still confused. My left side was still partially paralyzed and totally useless. I was still in pain every day, all over my body. I was in pain. Brother Miller told the church this. And in that revival, all different holiness people, they begin to fast and pray. Come on here now. When holiness people begin to fast and pray, heaven takes notice. When those vials go by God and he smells that sweet savor, that there is holiness, sanctified, consecrated, separated people, and they are denying the flesh, the fleshly desire and need of food, and they are spending their time praying.
Glory.
That's a sweet smell to God. Amen. And so we came up to revival. Brought me in the church, and because that I have a streak that I know you surely can't see it, but I can be a little stubborn. And I didn't want to go back to church in my wheelchair at the home church. I was foolishly embarrassed and ashamed, and that was very foolish of me. But so I had Missy bring me a wheelchair from physical therapy that they was trying to teach me to walk on, and I was struggling with it. Put my paralyzed hand on it, lifted up with my good hand, stepped with my good foot, and dragged myself, and it just wasn't very easy to do. I came in the church and I fell 3 times coming up the middle aisle. And so the men of the church got up and they picked me up and they carried me to the front seat here and set me down here where these good sisters are. And Brother Kevin preached. And I'm sure he preached great as he always does. And when he got done preaching, some of those good brothers came and they said, Brother Doug, we've been waiting for this. Come on up so we can pray for you. I had a hold of my walker and they helped me up here. I stood about right here at the Bible desk holding on to my walker. They took the oil and they anointed me and they prayed with me. Oh, and I love to hear holiness people pray. Woo! They prayed and I felt the Spirit of the Lord. They got done praying and I didn't really feel a whole lot different though. Got the walker. They took me back to the front. Pastor, can I sit on the altar?
Yeah.
Is that all right? And they walked me back to the front seat. And there I sat down. And you all know my little brother, Dwayne. He got up singing that song, There's a Miracle in the Making for You. Oh, let me tell you, church, the more he sang that song, the more I felt pain leaving. I mean, that quit hurting and this quit hurting. I was just feeling so much better. I felt so much better that without thinking about what I was doing, I raised my paralyzed arm up in the air.
Glory.
Not even thinking about it being my paralyzed arm. And I just raised it up in the air and was praising the Lord that I could have my arm up in the air. Well, not that I could have my arm in the air. I didn't even know my arm was up in the air. That I was just not feeling pain. I was just praising the Lord. And there I was sitting there with that paralyzed arm up in the air praising the Lord. I looked up on the platform and there was Brother Kevin and Missy's brother, my wife's brother, Brian. And they had walked all the way to the end of the platform. And they were standing there and they was pointing at me and kind of hitting each other and snickering a little bit.
Glory.
I didn't know that my arm was up in the air. I didn't know what this last night. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Kevin Webster and Brian Moore need to be sanctified. Y'all know them. You know it's the truth. Here I am trying to praise the Lord, and Kevin and Brian's up there snickering at me. Man, I'm feeling better, boys. And Brian, he went, Lord have mercy! That's my paralyzed arm in the air, church! My paralyzed arm is in the air because of Jesus! God is not a man! Woo! Oh, I could spend so much time that I won't, but I could tell you of the painful times that those good physical therapists, I appreciate them. I thank them for what they tried to do.
Right.
They just didn't understand. They would raise, come here, Caleb, and raise my arm up in the air, son. They'd raise my arm up in the air for me. They'd hold it up, and they'd say, okay, we're going to let go. Now you hold it up there. We're going to let go. Don't let it fall now.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it for even a second.
Right.
It would just fall back down. And there I looked and seeing my hand was up in the air. God is not a man!
Woo!
Understand that Jesus had walked upon this earth and had suffered the stripes and paid the price for my healing. And he left me very specific directions to me and the church. That if I wanted him to move and receive that healing, this is what you must do. This is how to go about receiving it. And oh, he watched and seen as good holiness people fasted and prayed. He watched and seen as good holiness brothers and sisters. They got the faith and they was believing that he was going to do it. And he watched as they took the oil and they laid hands upon me. I was so excited, waving and pointing at all my friends and showing them my arm. And folks was getting up and running and shouting,
yeah,
speaking in tongues. Oh, I guess the right word is pandemonium around that church for a while. It was beautiful. Folks was just, and I'll tell you the truth now. I'm telling you the truth. I was thinking, man, I should have waited these people years ago. I mean, you know, I'm glad too, but Lord have mercy, this is great. And finally, my friend on the pulpit, I waved at him, and he said, he went, you see me? Walker was there. I just wanted to try it. To stand up without holding on to Walker. And I did. And I didn't fall. Let me tell you why that is such a big deal to me. There were so many nights that we would have different family members that would come and stay in the parsonage with Missy. Good folks would come and stay with her to try to help pick me up and move me around and help her take care of me. And it was a very big job, and she had a 2- and 4-year-old child on top of that, and a church to pastor, and there was a lot of pressure on her, so they would come and help her. And understand that I made up my mind more than once. Tonight, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to holler. I'm not going to wake them up. I'm going to go. I would convince myself that it is all about self-control, mind over matter, Christian Scientist doctrine. I am going to walk tonight. I am not waking up this house. I would get myself on the end of the bed, and I'd work my way up, and here I go. And I'd lean forward and get my feet on the ground, and then I'd lean forward and hit the ground really hard. Oh, the worst time I did it. It was really the only time I ever got hurt much doing it. My dad was there helping Missy. Lord have mercy. He yelled and carried on something horrible. Just like a dad, I'm telling you what. And when I stood up and I wasn't falling, oh, it felt so good.
Sure it did.
And Brother Miller, he said, let's pray and be dismissed. And while they were praying, I was battling. I was battling on the inside a warfare that nobody knew it was going on. In my heart, something was saying, this is it. Take a step. This is it. Take a step. But there was such a loud roaring in my mind. That's not God. Don't be so foolish and embarrassed in church. Scare your mom and dad. Yeah, after what God has done for you, look, man, you're not blind now. What a way for that service to end. Everybody gathered around you trying to see if you're all right because you're laying on the ground. Don't do that. Grab the walker. Hardest decision I ever made was to take that step.
Hallelujah.
Listen to me, church. When Jesus begins to deal with your heart, it's time to take a step. It's time to take a step. And whatever aspect that he's dealing with you, the devil is going to be there roaring and screaming so loud. That's not God. Don't embarrass yourself, your family, your church. Don't do it. Grab the walker! I'm so glad. I've wondered so many times, Pastor, I've wondered about this. Sometimes I get by myself and I just think about this. Maybe it's a crazy thought, but I wonder about this. If I had grabbed that walker, I wonder how long it would have been. Hopefully sometime or another, but I don't know how long, if ever, it would have been until he came by like that again.
That's right.
For me to receive that healing.
Oh, yes.
I'm so thankful.
Yes.
That, you know, when God says move, you better move.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
And oh, I took a big deep breath. Oh, I remember so well. I was so scared. I'm not going to lie to you and say, and in a bunch of faith, I just know, friend, I was so scared. I took a big deep breath and I said, in the name Every muscle in my body was tense. I took a step. And I said, Paul, thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I took another step. But I didn't fall. By that third step, here came my wonderful daddy. He had my walker with him. He'd come running around the corner with us. I love you so much. I'm going to let you have it. Church, I haven't never used this since.
Glory, glory,
thank you, Lord. Oh, I will never forget when I walked without my walker. I walked back into physical therapy. I could see my left side was no longer paralyzed. They were still trying to figure out why I was talking so good. And I walked in there and said, look, Jesus has healed me. My. God is not a man. I said, God is not a man.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, my friend, if I could heal you, I would. If I could just hand out healings tonight, I would. But I can't. I can't. All that I can do is tell you of the price that was paid, of Jesus' promises, and that God is not a man.